Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me here on my channels and Alveda King's channels and all our Priests for Life broadcasting. It's great to be with you, and I appreciate you joining us. I want to do a little time of prayer tonight and also show you a new resource for celebrating President Trump. Rena, even you are called to celebrate President Trump. Every once in a while, we have some deluded people joining us on these broadcasts, but I like to push right back on them. You know, that's what President Trump has shown us how to do. Those that are harmful to our nation, and believe me, those that don't appreciate this president, you are a harmful force for our nation, and we are going to push right back at you 50 times harder than you can ever push on us. So welcome. This is going to be a triggering event for Rena and for all those who fail to appreciate the greatest president that we have ever had. Hold on to your horses there, Rena. Fasten your seatbelt, because this is not going to be pleasant for you. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, you are the source of all that is good, and you are the one who enables us to fight for what is good, to stand strong, dividing truth from falsehood, light from darkness, sin from grace, dividing the false prophets from the true prophets, the America lovers and patriots from the haters of America, the true Christians from the false Christians. Father, you are the one who enables us to see what is right and to do what is good and to defend it while attacking what is evil. Lord, we stand at a crossroads in America, and we know that there are two different visions for this nation that are set before us. And you ask and you invite us to choose life, to choose freedom, to choose what is good for our future and for our families. Lord God, we know what constitutes good, and you are the one who has taught us. As we read in your word, you have one Father in heaven, you have one Master, you have one teacher, and he is the Christ. So rejoicing in the teaching that he has given us and ready to spread and defend it, we come before you tonight wanting also to encourage one another in this great task. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together and bless each and every one of us now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, friends, look at this. I'm going to show you this right off the bat. Celebrating the President. I titled tonight's episode, Celebrating President Trump, because first of all, that's what we're doing. I was just with him day before yesterday, as you know, many of you saw at CPAC. So many of us gathered together to welcome him in person, to listen to his words, because we have something to celebrate. We have the greatest, most successful, historically successful president in our history. And, you know, that's not something that just goes away. That's something that shapes the nation, and the fruits of that endure, and we have to celebrate them. Now, so what is this book that I have in my hand? If you go to celebratingthepresident.com, you will see exactly what this is, and you'll be able to order a copy. It's not something that we've produced. It's an independent organization that has created this book, Celebrating the President, and it is a photo journal of some of the key top accomplishments of the 45th President of the United States. It is done so well, so professionally. It is a picture book. It's not a whole lot of words, but it is a summary of some of the key accomplishments of this president. Let me give you an example of how this book works on this particular page, and I'll get up and I'll come a little close to the camera so that you can see this. So, for example, Rebuilding Rural America. Okay, so you see, you know, various scenes of the president in action, whether it's signing legislation or firing up the people and speaking to his fellow Americans. The administration allocated $50 billion to the rural infrastructure program, with 80% going to state governors. So those are the words mentioned on this page about rebuilding rural America. And you see that the artwork is great, the photos are great, and then on the adjoining page, you'll have a page like this that shows, you know, in beautiful script, you know, another dimension of the accomplishments. This one here says, broadband development is improving access for rural communities and increasing employment opportunities. And you go through this picture after picture, page after page, and you say, wow, this is great stuff. This is just great stuff. A positive view. Imagine that, Rena. I wonder if Rena is still with us, or if she ran away and can go find her. Oh, there she is. Hey, Rena's still here because she had nothing better to do. And so open your mind. See, Rena represents, it's good that she's here because she represents all the other deluded people, that they don't seem to be able to open their minds to anything that's good. You must be a very unhappy person. Because there's so much good here to celebrate, and they don't even see it. It goes past their head, probably went past their heads ever since they were in grade school. They got traumatized by something and part of their brain shut down. But, you know, you look, peace in the Middle East, the most vibrant, strong, and diverse economy in our history. The Space Force, the president announced the United States Space Force as a new branch of the military. Ah, and look at this one. Iranian military leader Qasem Soleimani. U.S. forces killed him in January 2020 in response to his role coordinating attacks on U.S. assets in the Middle East. You know, it's really amazing to me how you can have people in this country and in other parts of the world who are so blind to the fact that this is the kind of thing that benefits us all. This is the kind of thing that we should all be rejoicing in. Now, again, the place to get this book is celebratingthepresident.com. Again, it's not our resource. I purchased a copy of this book. You can as well. It's a totally separate company that creates it. But it's really, you know, I mean, you can go to prolifepresident.com, which is a website that we've created, which simply lists in various different categories the accomplishments of the Trump administration. But this is such an artistic depiction of it that it's just beautiful. And it's something that I know that that all of you, with the exception of one or two, will really enjoy going through. So celebratingthepresident.com. I like this one here. The president repealed the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act. Hallelujah. Drug overdose deaths fell by 5% in 2019, the first decline in almost 30 years. You know, it's almost like when you look at the, and that's not almost, it is like when you look at the accomplishments of the Trump administration summarized in a beautiful book like this, or simply listed at websites like I have at prolifepresident.com, you could create a template. President Trump did this, and fill in the blank, the first time in fill in the blank years. Because so many of his accomplishments, whether it was this decrease in drug overdose deaths, or increase in median income, or lowering of the poverty level, or the amount of time that went by without the United States getting into some foreign war, or a peace accord between Israel and Arab nations, continued down the line. It's not just that it was done, which is good enough. Even if it had been done last year, it's great that it's done. But these are things that haven't been done in decades, or in some cases, ever. And it's a template that you see over and over again. Not just a good accomplishment, but the first time that that accomplishment was done, or the most that it's been done in decades. Celebrate. There's reason to celebrate. So I wanted to show this book to you. Again, celebratingthepresident.com. And another resource for us as we move forward. Well, it's Tuesday night. This is March the 2nd. Tomorrow's Wednesday. And Mr. Becerra, Attorney General of California, who's been nominated to be the head of the Department of HHS, is somebody who is going to be voted on in the Senate Finance Committee. They have been considering his nomination. And so we may see some action on that tomorrow. This guy is a disaster to head up the Department of HHS. And if you watch my programs, you know why that is the case. He's an abortion activist. He's not just in favor of abortion. He's an abortion activist, pushing it as much as he can, pushing funding of abortion as much as he can. And the guy is a disaster. He has no respect for conscience or religious freedom. And the Department of HHS actually is a place where religious freedom has been defended under President Trump. He even established a new division within that office called the Division for Conscience and Religious Freedom. And Becerra has no regard for that, because he has. In fact, the Office for Civil Rights under HHS and the specific Division for Conscience and Religious Freedom had to take action against Becerra in the state of California for not following federal law, the Weldon Amendment to be specific, which prohibits the state from forcing insurance companies to cover elective abortion. And yet California under Becerra did exactly that. They violated federal law. People complained to the Trump administration. The Trump administration had to deny hundreds of thousands of dollars to the state of California because they were in violation. Oh, they gave them plenty of chance to comply with the law, but Becerra just didn't want to. He didn't want to honor the religious conscience of people like you and me. He didn't want to honor it. He didn't want to honor it. He doesn't care about it. He took religious institutions, Catholic ministries and apostolates. Now, this is now something separate from violating the Weldon Amendment, okay, and forcing health insurance companies to include elective abortion. Aside from that, he took religious institutions to court to force them to include abortion in their coverage for health insurance. I mean, this man doesn't belong in public life, period. Doesn't belong in any kind of public office, period. You know, those who made this possible, because under a Republican administration, under a Trump administration, it would be impossible for a man like this to be nominated for anything. Woe to the voters who make this garbage possible. We told you, we warned you. We said, look, when you have an election, you're not just choosing the man who's going to sit in the Oval Office, or man or woman. You're going to choose who's going to sit in a whole bunch of other offices. Remember, we talked about this time and time again. Thank you, Kim. I see the comments coming on over here as I'm talking to you, and Kim is talking about our great governor right here in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis. Thank you, Governor, if you're watching or your team is watching. We are with you 100% and grateful for your leadership. But you know, we said it during the election, right? It's not just about who's sitting in the Oval Office. It's about the clowns that are going to be sitting in the office down the hallway and throughout the federal government. Clowns like Becerra, who's now being voted on by the Senate. Now, what happens in these instances, if you're familiar with the process, is that he has hearings in the appropriate committee of the Senate, So you'll have, depending on the size of the committee, you know, a dozen, two dozen, or whatever the size of the committee is, senators voting. And then they'll decide whether it should be referred to the full Senate, all 100 senators, for a vote. So now's the time. We've already sent out an action alert, and you can see all our action alerts at stopabortionnow.org. But now is the time, again, even if you've done it already, do it a second time, because you can tell your U.S. senators that you understand that Becerra might be coming to a vote, that you don't want to see him confirmed as the head of the HHS. Now, look, we all understand. Because the Democrats are making these decisions in terms of these appointments, they're all going to be bad. Okay, we already know that. They're all going to be bad. As Cindy is saying, Maine has a Republican senator voting Democrat. Yeah, Susan, you got to wake up, Susan Collins. She's done some good things, obviously, but along the way. But my goodness, can't vote like a Democrat. It's obvious that because the Democrats are making these appointments, every one of them is going to be pro-abortion. Every one of them is going to be a disaster. But there are some disasters that are worse than others. And you couldn't possibly have a more wrong choice for the Department of HHS than Mr. Becerra. So so go ahead and make those calls, take those steps. You know, it was great to see in some of the hearings that have been held for him already, some of our Republican senators standing up for pro-life and questioning him on his abortion stance. Senator Steve Daines from Montana. You know Senator Daines. Some of you are from Montana. And by the way, let me know where you're from. I see the various comments coming in, but it's also always good to know where our audience is listening from. But the Senator Daines heads up the Senate Pro-Life Caucus. You know, there's a pro-life caucus in the House of Representatives. There has been for decades. The one in the Senate is more new, the pro-life caucus in the Senate, and he heads that up. And he questioned Becerra, as did a number of other of the Republican senators, very strongly on abortion. And, you know, Becerra wouldn't answer the questions. This is characteristic of these Democrat extremists. They won't answer the questions. And one of the things that Senator Daines challenged Becerra about was, okay, so what exceptions would you make for abortion? In other words, which abortions would you oppose? Under what circumstances would you say that abortion should not be allowed? Should it be allowed for sex selection in the latest stages of pregnancy? Oh, we just found out the sex of the baby, and we don't want a girl. We only want a boy. So let's go have an abortion in the fifth month of pregnancy. I mean, imagine a scenario. I mean, it's not that these scenarios are in our imagination; they happen. But imagine a scenario that you know you would say even if you're pro-choice. So and this is what the senator was challenging him on. We know he's in favor of legal abortion. And if you, and I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if you take any of your friends or acquaintances or relatives or coworkers who say they're pro-choice and are willing to have a rational conversation about it, and you ask them to identify circumstances where they think abortion goes too far, ask them to identify just one instance of when abortion goes too far. Hey, but majority leader has no idea what he or she is talking about. Go to exposeabortion.net, Majority Leader Taylor. Go to exposeabortion.net, and if you have ears that work, listen to the tape recordings there of phone calls that we made to abortion clinics asking, listen, asking if they could have an abortion at 32 weeks into pregnancy. Listen, majority, right? The majority of people have two functioning ears. Listen, abortion at 32 weeks into pregnancy, healthy baby, listen, healthy mother, that's a majority, listen. And they said yes. Come on in next week. It's a stillbirth. They kill the baby, inject the baby's heart with poison. Takes several days. Listen. It takes several days. It's happening. You can wrap yourself in a bubble of denial. Go ahead. Go be with all those deluded Democrats. Boy, you people are in. You are such a disgrace to this country. Oh, my goodness. There's no words to describe it. There's no words. Aren't you glad that you can make history? This is what the Trump opponents have to understand, how they're making history. Because nobody in American history can possibly be more on the wrong side of history than those who are oblivious to the history that has been made and the good that has been done under President Trump. Nobody can be more on the wrong side of history. And especially when they have such dark minds that they think it's okay to kill babies, even healthy babies of healthy mothers in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy. It is happening. Now, if you ask people in your life who say that they're pro-choice, they'll be able to identify situations where they don't think it's right. Plenty of people, I mean, in fact, most people who are pro-choice don't even want it to happen after the first 3 months of pregnancy. You know, it's amazing when people are in favor of abortion. They think they're a majority, but they're the minority. And they're not leaders, they're losers. And then they have this weird, it's like a compensation mechanism that a kid uses in their infantile behavior. They want to stand up for children. They want to stand up for children. Gun violence, you know, as if a gun can commit a sin. A gun cannot commit a sin. People commit sins, and they use guns, knives, bombs, cars, hammers. Kids being killed by gun violence. Kids at the border. Oh, yeah, the border. Right. And meanwhile, they're guilty in their mind and heart of supporting the dismemberment of children, tearing their arms off while they're still alive. What's wrong with these people? No, it's amazing. It's a psychological compensation mechanism, where they have to virtue signal that, oh yes, you know, we're concerned about the kids at the border, or we're concerned about kids that are abused. Abuse of children. We're all concerned about the abuse of children, but there's a particular group of people whose obsession against it is not done out of any moral stance, but is done because they're psychologically wounded and warped by the fact that they're okay with the dismemberment of children by abortion. We see that every day. It's a sad scene, really. You say to these people, you know, it's too bad that their moral sense is so warped that they can't protect these babies in the womb, and they really look like fools when they get up and pretend to be advocating for children to be saved from abuse and gun violence, and you name it. They'll fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. Kids at the border. It doesn't matter. These people are so morally bankrupt. But it's going on every day. It's all around us. But Sarah couldn't mention a single case, a single situation in which he would oppose an abortion. That's my point here. You ask pro-choice friend, they'll tell you. Oh, I only go so far. Well, you know, if she should have a choice, she should choose in the first 3 months of pregnancy. After that, it's too late. After viability, even Roe v. Wade said after viability, the state could prohibit abortion. What happened to choice? everybody realizes, well, not everybody, literally, but it's common enough that people recognize there's a limit to the choice. You should never have a choice to kill a baby at any time. But what I'm saying is those who think you do, even they have a cutoff somewhere. But Sarah, he couldn't mention. Ask him. Maybe he'll answer you. Ask him. He couldn't mention a single incident. Most of these Democrat senators, Biden, and these people that he surrounds himself with, they're all in the same boat. You ask them, you know, you heard at the Democrat debates, there was nobody except Tulsi Gabbard in one of the debates said something about there being some kind of a limit at which you should say no to abortion. God bless her for saying that. In the third trimester of pregnancy. But you see what I'm saying. You challenge them. It's a good way to challenge those on the other side of this issue. What are the circumstances in which you would limit an abortion? What are the circumstances in which you would think it should not be done? Even so far as coerced abortion. This is the fascinating thing, that people who say that they're in favor of the woman's choice can't seem to find their voices to speak up against coerced abortion. We work with our friend, he's been on these programs with us, attorney Alan Parker. He's going to be on the program with Janet's program in the afternoon at 3:30, Just Ask Janet. Alan Parker's going to be on coming up next week. And one of the projects he does, and we collaborate on it with him, is the Center Against Forced Abortion. CAFA, C-A-F-A. Look it up. Center Against Forced Abortion. Forced abortion is going on every day in our country. It's not because people have freedom of choice that they get abortions. It's because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. So where are the people in favor of choice? Raising their voices against being forced. Where are the people in favor of choice? They should be, if they're really in favor of choice, this is the difference between being in favor of choice, and they'll always claim that there's this difference. Oh, well, we're not in favor of abortion, we're in favor of choice. Well, then why don't you raise your voices when the abortions are against the person's choice? Is that a legitimate question or not? Is that a powerful question to challenge them with or not? Again, let's make it clear. People will say to us, I'm not in favor of abortion, I'm in favor of choice. Well, then what if the abortion is forced? Will you speak up for choice then? Will you speak up for the choice, for the woman to make the choice and to have the right and to have the protection to make the choice to choose life? They don't speak up for it. There are laws that have been introduced, bills that have been introduced and laws that have been passed in various states requiring the abortion facility to be very explicit and very clear and very careful to recognize evidence of the woman being forced into the abortion and making sure that they do not do it if there is, in fact, a situation of coercion. Shouldn't everybody be in favor of a bill like that? We who oppose abortion, well, it's another way to fight it. And even people who are supporting of legal abortion, if what they think they favor is choice, well then do so. Another argument along these lines, by the way, and I just had a column about this in Newsmax. If you go to Newsmax.com, I know many of you watch Newsmax, but also go to the opinion pieces, because I'm a regular contributor. Every 2 weeks or so, I have a column there on Newsmax.com. You see the opinion bloggers there, and I'm one of them at Newsmax.com. We want to thank Newsmax. They often have me on the TV as well, and what a great outlet that is. And I'm sure many of you rely on them for news and commentary. So at Newsmax.com, the column that came out there by me today challenges the Biden voters. Now, we've had some of them here on this program, and we've had them come on here and sometimes make comments. I'm not going to say they listen, and maybe they got one or two of them that actually listen. And you've heard this. Oh, well, I'm going to vote Democrat, and I'm going to vote for Biden, or I voted for Biden, but I don't agree. It's not that I agree with abortion. Now get this now, right? That when we point out abortion in the, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth month of pregnancy, when we point out taxpayer funding of abortion, the Democrats are always looking to pour more money into the abortion industry day by day. It's like a dogma that they live by. A lot of these voters will claim that they don't go along with that garbage, and they shouldn't. They'll claim that they don't go along with extreme abortion. How many people, like Cindy is saying, you heard it more than once, how many people that you've talked to during this election cycle said the same thing when you brought up, as many people bring up, the abortion issue when they say, look, we got to vote for Republicans, they're pro-life. And they'll respond to us, these people respond, oh, but I'm not in favor of abortion. Okay. So right now, they have an opportunity, and this was the point of my column in Newsmax, they have an opportunity to put their money where their mouth is. Call your senators and tell them to vote against Javier Becerra for the Department of HHS. Tell them to vote against him. Why? Because he's an abortion extremist. He's going to be pushing and pushing and pushing abortion. Or, if they don't want to talk about that, you have another opportunity to call your senators and tell them to vote against the so-called Equality Act. Because what that does is it opens the door to more and more abortion. So these people voted for Biden, and many of them voted for Democrat senators. So now's the chance for them to show the evidence that what they said during the election was more than just an excuse for a guilty conscience. Oh, yeah, but I oppose this extreme abortion. Well, then say so. Tell them. Not to tell us. Tell them. Call your senator. Call the Democrat senator that you voted for. Or call the Biden administration that you voted for and tell them what you told us. Either we're having an honest dialogue here, or it's a charade. Either these people are telling us the truth, or they're making a mockery of the whole system. If you really aren't opposed to extreme abortion policies, well, then don't try to tell us that you are. Who are you trying to console? You're just trying to placate your own guilty conscience. You're not proving anything to us. You're not impressing us. But if you really are sincere, and I know there are many people who are sincere about this, they are opposed to late-term abortion. They are opposed to taxpayer funding of abortion. Well, now's your chance. Because the Democrats that you helped to elect, those that voted for them, they're pushing the very thing that you're saying you don't like. So are you going to call your senator? Are you going to go to the White House website and leave a comment in the place where you can leave a comment? Are you going to talk to your local Democrat Party leader and tell them, hey, get off this abortion train? Are you going to do that? That's my challenge. Now, those that are doing it, well, let's hear from you. Let's hear from you. Show us the evidence. Well, those are my thoughts for tonight, friends. And I want to thank you for all that you do, because I know you're very, very active in this movement, as we all try to be. We're going to continue to give you resources. We're going to continue to give you information. We're going to continue to give you ideas. We're going to continue to give you inspiration to be bold, to be vocal, to speak out, to be common sense, to be patriots, and to be pro-Trump. We are only just beginning this pro-Trump movement. It has only just begun. His presidency was just the start. And it has laid a foundation that we're going to build on, and it has inspired a movement that we're going to grow. And as he said the other day, who knows who it will be, which the Republican will be that will take back the White House in 2024. I wonder who that might be, he said in that speech just 48 hours ago. So, once again, what I talked about earlier, this beautiful picture book celebrating President Trump's accomplishments called CelebratingThePresident.com. That's where you can go to order it. You see beautiful pictures of him in action and summaries of his different accomplishments. Chapter 10, cutting regulations. During his time in office, President Trump has set about simplifying and streamlining American bureaucracy. His administration has cut a record number of regulations across the business, finance, energy, and infrastructure sectors, among others, allowing American businesses and individuals to hire business individuals to expand their operations at a greater speed and to hire more employees. The results have included lower tax rates and higher productivity. So you have these little paragraphs like that summarizing these accomplishments that really nobody in their right mind can object to. Thanks, friends. Thanks for your encouragement. May the Lord bless and protect you. May He answer all your prayers. May He keep you close to Him. May He make you strong advocates for what is right and just, for life, freedom, for faith, for family, and for America. And may He bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Thanks for joining me tonight. We'll be with you for Mass tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And looking forward to it. God bless, and have a great night.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.